In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, on God, Amen. This gospel is a well-known gospel. But what it sometimes, or should be trying to do to us, is trying to open or give us an insight. You know, many of the fathers of the church, for example, St. Isaac the Syrian, or even Pope Carlos, when they read the Bible, they didn't read it for knowledge. They didn't read it for instructions. They read it for insights. Insights. This idea that reading between the words, they could receive a message, a reflection of God's will and how they should live that life. And so in this gospel, we actually receive an insight into the idea of work. Our labor, our work, our careers is something that consumes us. It consumes 9 to 5. It consumes us in between the 9 to 5. It consumes us in the weekend thinking about the 9 to 5. And if it's not exactly our work that is consuming us, it's what our work is trying to achieve that consumes us. So even when I'm not working, I'm thinking about my career, I'm thinking of my ambition, I'm thinking of my plan, I'm thinking of my strategy. It's all we think about, correct? And so we can't ignore work. Christ does not come to us and say to us, stop working. Everyone, it's fine, don't worry about it, forget about it. Once there were some monks that went to in the monastery of St. Macarius, and they said to him, today we're not working. He said, what do you mean today you're not working? He says, our labor is to pray. We love to pray. So what we'll do is, we'll stay in ourselves and we'll pray every day. Because really, the work of a monk should be prayer. There's no reason for us to use our hands and to labor. Let us just stay in ourselves and we'll pray. 24/7 prayer. Like a strong prayer, a fiery prayer. St. Macarius said, look, that's your choice. No, it's your prerogative. No problem. Then when the food came to be rationed out and they distribute the food and they leave it at the front of everyone's cell, they didn't leave any food at the front of their cells. And so the monk said to him, St. Macarius, what are you doing? We need to eat. We're starving. We've been praying all day. Macarius said, oh, sorry. I thought you were angels. Angels pray. Angels don't work. So enjoy the food of the angels. And he left them for 3 days without food. Okay, so Christ, even for the monks in the monasteries, is not telling us cease working, but he's giving us an insight onto how to work. How do we work? And St. Peter, he hears an instruction on how to work. And so if we look here, what's happening, if we look at the gospel, it says that when they had been fishing, and they'd been fishing for some time, and he got into one of the boats, which is Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from there. Now, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, now, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So he's telling him, do your work. Do your work. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so straight away, you get this impression that St. Peter is being told to work, but in a different way. Sometimes we are working, but we're not working in the correct way. Christ does not want us to stop working, but he wants us to work in the right way. We're following our will, our ambition, our career path, our desires, not his will, not his desires, not his ambition for me, not his career for me, what I want. Sometimes, even beyond this, what is wrong about the way we're working is that we have this idea that all of us have. All of us have it. And if you don't have it, then you're being dishonest. If you're not struggling with this. That we think our work life is in a different sphere to my religious life. 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I act in a particular way. I have to enforce my will. I have to show them who I am. I have to make them respect me as the boss. I am the Rais. I am the president. They need to listen to every word I say. And then I come to church and I beat my chest. I said, no, I put my head to the side. I'm sinful. And so we separate. We almost compartmentalize. We put in one compartment our religious life and another compartment our work life. I remember once I was working on a night shift, which is always the test for someone's Christianity. And in that night shift, I sat down, and before the shift started, at midnight, I went to all the nurses. I said to them, guys, today we're going to have a beautiful night. It's going to be a beautiful night. Everything's going to go perfectly. No one's going to die. The place is going to run so smoothly. And what we're going to do is this. Any problem you have, you write it on the board. You don't call me ever. Ever. And if you are going to page me, I want you to do something. I want you to write the problem in the page. Don't put a phone number. Because if I have to wake up because you paged me and I don't have the problem in front of me and have to get out of my sleep and walk up to the phone and call you and ask what the problem is, I'm going to be very angry. And I said it with a big smile on my face and they were laughing. And it was a joke. It was nice. 3 a.m. came. I was in deep sleep. Like deep sleep. I was there to sleep. I wasn't there to work. I was there to sleep. And then I got a message with the phone number. So I said, oh, okay, I'm going to give it to him. I got up to the phone. I called him. Who called me? Who called me? Didn't I say to put a message in the phone? Didn't I say to put a message in the phone? Did I or did I not say put a message in the phone? And the poor nurse started crying. Started crying. And I didn't think anything until I told her. I put it right to her. I gave it to her. She knows her place. She'll never make that mistake ever again. And I went back to sleep. In the morning, I woke up, went and attended a mass, a church, I was beating my chest. Ah, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. Until I stopped and started to think on my way home, what kind of life am I living? I go and scream at somebody, make her cry. And then I go and pray. And if I hadn't stopped at that moment, I would have continued. Like they're two different spheres. It's like they don't touch each other. They don't interfere with each other. And yet for Christ, again, he doesn't want us to stop us working, but he wants us to work in the right way. And in that way, I was doing something tragic. Because if at that moment she found out I was a Christian, and that's the way a Christian acts, can you imagine how muddied, how darkened the gospel would be in her life? Christ wants to give us an insight on how to work. He says to St. Peter, cast over there. And then St. Peter casts at the word of Christ. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both their boats, so they were about to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Once the blessing comes in my life, once I am working, and I may be working right, I may be working wrong, and my career is bringing me fruits. I'm doing well. My business is doing well. My life is doing well. My career is doing well. Then I need to be able to recognize the presence of Christ. The secret or the inside of any success is Christ and Christ alone. And yet, if I said to you, in your business, why is it successful? It's because I work hard. It's because I'm clever in this way. It's because I know how to run the business. I'm a good manager. Why in your career? Because I understand things that no one else can understand. Because I have the capacity to communicate in a way which is so effective that people will always listen to me. That's what's running through my head, even though I don't tell anyone. Why? Because I went to university and I studied for a very long time. I worked hard. I gave up. I made sacrifices. I remember once there was a very famous professor who was performing surgeries that no one else could perform. Really, he's the only person in Australia that can perform these particular surgeries. And he would extend somebody's life by 6 months, a year, 18 months, give people, you know, extra time to be with their loved ones. And once he walked into a woman that he had performed this really radical surgery, and the woman said to him, thank God for healing me through your hands. And he walked out, said, yeah, walked out, and then turned around to his team, stopped them in the middle of the corridor and said to them, God didn't heal her, I healed her. That's a very dramatic example of how we feel. Sometimes we don't admit it to ourselves, but that's how we feel. I am successful because I have done something to be worthy of that success. And yet, look at St. Peter's reaction. Lord, go away from me. I can't be in your presence. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. In the moment that he becomes successful in his work, he recognizes straight away he has not done it, but God has done it. God has done it. Only after his reaction does Christ then transform his idea of work. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. Does anyone know what happens in Isaiah chapter 6? Anyone? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. So the prophet Isaiah is sitting there and he has a vision of God. And the train of his robe filled the whole temple, and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. So he's talking here about the seraphim. And one cried out to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." What does that remind us of? What does that remind us of? In the liturgy, when the priest says, "Agios," in a long tune, or "Holy," in a long tune, this is from here. And then the priest will take one of the lefafa, one of the veils, and swap it with the other one, and then swap the one on his right with the one on the chalice. And the reason he does that is to give this sensation of fluttering, the fluttering of the seraphim around the throne. And then the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah is now in the presence of God. In the presence of God. And listen to his words. "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone." It's a very specific word, undone. "I am revealed. Nothing is hidden. Everything I was using to cover me up from head to toe so no one could see how I really am on the inside is undone." And he's a prophet. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So he's saying, I can't even stand before you. I'm like Peter. "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm undone." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. So he took something from the altar of God, a coal, and he touched the coal to my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." So Isaiah, in being in the presence of God, straight away says, woe is me, I'm undone. I can't be in your presence. And the second he says those words, the angel goes, the seraphim goes, gets a coal from God, touches his lips and purifies it. Now, can you imagine the reaction if Isaiah said, this is awesome. I am so worthy to be in your presence, O God. I'm so glad I finally made it. He couldn't. To be in God's presence and receive the gift of purification or the gift of healing or the gift of transformation from God, I have to declare my unworthiness. I have to declare my unworthiness. And that's precisely what Peter does. And then after he does that, and only after Peter says to God or says to Christ, depart from me for I'm a sinful man, does God then transform him. We have to understand that the fruits of my work, what I'm doing, are not mine. It's not the result of mine. Even the hard work. Who gave you the capacity to work hard? Who gives us the capacity to work hard? God. Because the second I have a heart attack, the second I lose my health, the second I lose the strength of my mind, I no longer have that capacity. Who gives me the capacity to reason? The fact that I grew up in a stable house that taught me how to reason. Who gives me the capacity to communicate? Existing in a household which is communicating. Who gave me that household? Did I do anything to deserve that household? No. And so to receive the insight, this insight in the nature of work and how to use work for God, we have to very clearly see that the fruits of my work have nothing to do with me. God gave me everything. In Christianity, and especially in Orthodoxy, we have this notion that we are stewards. We're stewards. Nothing that is mine. Even all of my wealth, my house, my properties, everything I have is God's. God has given to me as a steward, as somebody to manage it. Yes, to take care of my family and my house and my children, but also to take care of the people around me. It's not mine. It's not mine. And so we need to give this word of humility. We need to be like Peter and say, when I have worked and when there is success and when I am working right, depart from me, Lord, because right now, in that moment of my success, it's you that is working, not me that's working. And then once I make that realization that I'm in the presence of God, I hear the next words of Christ. So listen now to the next words of Christ. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish after Peter had said, depart from me. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So once I have the true insight into the nature of my work, which is to work right for Christ, to work in a state of humility for Christ, then Christ says to me, now use it for the true purpose, for the kingdom. For the kingdom. How many of us, let's be honest, myself first, how many of us really believe that the purpose of our work, the purpose of my success, the purpose of my 9 to 5 is serving the kingdom of God? Or do I believe it's a sphere independent of the religious sphere? The two don't cross. How many of us really believe that when I'm working, when I'm in a pharmacy working, when I'm working as a doctor, when I'm working as a teacher, when I'm working as a plumber, whatever it is, that that is something that is declaring and preparing the kingdom of God? Or do I think that work, the work that I do, my career, and I do it, and I do it 9 to 5, and it consumes me for 60 years of my life, and I think that out of that, I'll offer God a little bit. I'll offer him my 10%. I'll offer him my Friday night. I'll offer him my Saturday, my Sunday. Christ is transforming the nature of our work. He's saying to us, work, by all means work. By all means catch fish. By all means have a surplus of fish that can supply and take care of your family and your extended family and all those around you and help the poor. Beautiful. But recognize that everything you do is by me. Everything you do is by my presence. Everything you do is for me, in me, through me. How many of us live our lives like that? And so Christ in this gospel is giving us an insight. Beautiful. Be a fisherman. Catch fish. Have a surplus of fish. But recognize that you're serving the kingdom. More important than that is a fisher of men. Every day we work. Let us all, as a community, go to work, sign ourselves with the sign of the cross each morning and say, Lord, transform me, give me success, watch over me in my career, so that I can have a chance to transform the people around me, so that I can be a fisher of men and women. Transform me so that I can transform the world. How many of us live our lives like that? And can you imagine we did? Can you imagine we did? May God give us all to have this insight into the nature of work, the beauty of work, and the necessity of work, but transform it to understand that above all, our lives are called to serve the kingdom of God. That is the only thing that is important for us. That is the only thing that is needful. That is our only concern. May God give us all to have that. Glory be to God forevermore.